Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
Big podcast episode today. Representative Jason Nemes is going to join us about some stuff shaking over in Frankfurt. First, though, let's go to some national news, some stuff that broke over the last few days that I just absolutely had to comment on. How about this? Pete Buttigieg, who looks like maybe he won the weird Iowa caucuses. I'm still saying that I won the Iowa Democratic caucuses, but whatever. He went on The View and refused to give his stance on partial birth abortion. Listen to this. This is kind of crazy talk.
So I was really surprised. I saw an interview you did on a radio show where you were talking about abortion. And I think this got a lot of play in conservative media, conservative circles, where you were talking about, and this is your quote, there's a lot of parts of the Bible that talk about how life begins with breath. So even that is something we can interpret differently. It obviously, in my circles, was passed around everywhere because I think the interpretation from pro-life people like me was that you meant a baby actually being born and then possibly. You know, there's a lot of controversy with Governor Northam and what it means and what time a woman should be able to
have. Now, this is interesting. This is from The View, and it's Meghan McCain asking Pete Buttigieg the question, and he throws his faith around. He wears his faith on his sleeve, so she's kind of challenging him on this.
Have an abortion. I just wanted you to clarify because I found that statement to be pretty radical.
Well, I'm just pointing to the fact that different people will interpret their own moral lights and, for that matter, interpret scripture differently. But we live in a country where it is extremely important that no one person have to be subjected to some other person's interpretation of their own religion.
Okay, so now this is an interesting point that he's making here. He's right substantively that I shouldn't be able to interpret. I just made up a word. I feel like I'm back on the radio. Interpret my moral beliefs onto you in every single way. But here's what the contradiction is. There's a person inside of another person, and when we abort them, especially late term, we are in fact putting our moral values on that person who is yet to be born. Life begins with breath. You know, it's interesting. He's probably referring to the fact that God breathed into Adam and Eve, and that's in the first chapter of the Bible, but it's kind of interesting how liberals like to talk about the Bible as more allegory and only use it when it comes, when it tends to be something that is useful for them to advance their left-wing socialist agenda, but they don't want to actually realize that it's pretty clear that did Jesus's life begin when he was put into the womb of Mary, or did it begin when he was birthed out? I mean, come on, Pete Buttigieg, you got to be smarter than that if you're going to wear your faith on your sleeve. Anyway, he kind of went on to insinuate that he at least didn't want to give a stance on partial birth abortion, which, you know, you can have a belief about abortion, and I don't want to get into a whole crusade about that because people are pretty much entrenched on one side or the other, but I do believe most Americans think that if a baby is partially born, that you got to let it be born, and you got to try to save it. I don't understand those who support partial birth abortion, and it's kind of hard to tell where Buttigieg comes down on. All right, another one. This is from CNN. This is actually really funny. Wolf Blitzer was talking to one of the House representatives, trying to figure out what was her name here. Hold on a second. Senator Mazie Hirono. I believe she's from Hawaii, I think. Anyway, he was talking to her about the president having been acquitted by the Senate.
Well, let's talk about that. The Senate has clearly spoken now. The president was acquitted. Do you think your House colleagues...
Wolf, wasn't acquitted. It was a...
What?
Rigged trial. You don't get acquitted when you don't even get to call witnesses.
He wasn't acquitted because it was a sham trial. What was the House impeachment but a sham freaking trial? Are you kidding me? The House impeachment was a sham trial. They actually did a casting call for witnesses and hid them from the public. There's still transcripts that actually exonerate the president that they will not release. Come on. That's ridiculous.
Witnesses don't have the documents because the president stonewalled all efforts on the part of the House to...
Oh, God. It's just stupid. I can't handle the stupid anymore. Oh, speaking of the stupid, how about this? Here's Alexandria Ocasio.
Ms. Hutchinson, I also want to thank
back
you
about bringing
up the poverty draft. And this idea of a bootstrap. You know, this idea and this metaphor of a bootstrap started off as a joke because it's a physical impossibility
to pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yourself up by a bootstrap, by your shoelaces. It's physically impossible The whole thing is a joke.
Yeah, well, the point is, she thinks that we actually believe that people should be able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps on the conservative side of the aisle. No, no, that's not what we're arguing, you idiot. We're arguing for freedom. For freedom to build your own thing. You know, you got soles? Let's put the boots around the soles and onto the soles. You got a strap? Let's put a strap on it so that you can slide your boot on. Yeah, let's give people the freedom to do all of those things. Not socialism. What an idiot. All right, now to the prime goal for today. We've got Representative Jason Nemes. I wanted to talk to him about several things. There was a bill that was passed last week by the House of Representatives. It had been passed by the Senate, and it now goes to the governor for signing, and that's armed RSOs in every school in Kentucky. I think this is brilliant. We also want to talk a little sports betting and some medical marijuana with the representative this morning on the Disruption Zone. Representative Jason Nemes with us on the Disruption Zone, checking in on Frankfurt and the Ostrich Farm. We got to talk about the sports betting. Several things I want to hit with you, Representative Nemes. First of all, welcome to the Disruption Zone podcast. How are you, bud?
I'm good. Thank you. It's my inaugural time in the Disruption Zone.
I know, man. We should do this more often. Let me start with what just happened. The House debated for, I guess, about an hour and a half whether or not we should arm resource officers in schools, eventually passing it and sending it over to the governor's desk. What do you think the governor's going to do? This is his first test on firearms, whether or not he's, you know, pro right to protect ourselves or not, especially our kids. What do you think the governor will do with this bill that appears to have passed both chambers now?
Well, the governor's a wise guy with respect to understanding both issues that are good and politics. And if he does the right thing and isn't led by ideology, then he will sign the bill. If he doesn't, we're just going to override it, so it doesn't really matter much what he does. But it just seems like, you know, this isn't an issue that's a partisan issue. There are Democrat kids, Republican kids, independent kids, left-handed kids, right-handed kids. We're trying to protect all kids.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what category they come from. And I think the governor will sign it, but if he doesn't, we're just going to override it. This is protecting our kids is, I can't think of anything more important, Leland.
Then assuming then that you obviously would have passed it with a veto-proof majority, which means it would have passed bipartisanly?
That's right. Yeah, there were, I don't know how many votes were against it. There were a dozen or so. Mm. A lot of representatives from Louisville stood up and spoke against it and voted against it. I was incredulous because as I listened to the debate, because it's so obvious. I mean, I know this is a metaphor, but what is the SRO supposed to do? How are they supposed to meet a threat?
Right.
If a situation happened like happened last June in Valley where a suspended student was found walking toward the school with a loaded gun and 50 extra bullets in his pocket. I mean, is he supposed to meet the threat with negotiation, with spitballs, paper wads?
Right.
I mean, what is he supposed to do? Of course, he has to have a gun.
Right.
I mean, it's we can't wish these things away. We have to be realists.
I'm of the mindset that I think we need at least 5% of the staff of any given school carrying concealed firearms so that no one knows who they are, but that they go through a law enforcement training program, that they're background checked, triple background checked, and continuously background checked, and then otherwise trained to respond specifically to these kinds of threats. But I understand, at least, why some people might disagree with that. What I don't understand is why you would disagree with having an armed resource officer in a school, because that's like saying that you would like to be able to call the police when someone robs your home, breaks in, and holds you at gunpoint, but you would like for those police to not respond with any weapons of any kind. It makes no sense.
That's right. And Lila, what are resource officers? They're police officers. They're
right.
Trained to be police officers. They're also trained extra, have extra training in negotiation and mediation because, you know, they kind of mediate and try to diffuse, fights and things of that nature that don't rise to the level of school shootings. But they're police officers. They're
right.
Not just regular folks. So they're already trained for it. And I would say that I didn't hear any of my colleagues stand up and ask for the Kentucky State Police troopers who protect us
right.
to get rid of their guns.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point. There was a gun rally in Frankfurt last week. I wanted to hit that just a little bit. I don't know if you attended or not. But I noticed that some of the folks in the Courier-Journal seemed to be upset that people are legally allowed to carry guns inside our Capitol. It's the people's house. It's the people's building. Right. And one particular columnist who shall go unnamed posted on Twitter that they thought it was really ironic that people with guns could go around the metal detector and people without them couldn't. And someone sent that to me on Twitter, and I explained. I said, let's give that a little context here. When you go in carrying a gun, you're declaring what you have, and what you have is seen. It's right there. It's on your hip or it's in your hand. There's no need to go through a metal detector now because you're showing what it is you would have brought. All that's going to happen is the metal detector is just going to go off. Are we going to stop you because your watch is too metal, but then hand you your AR-15 back? The whole thing was just kind of silly. It was just this sort of this gut knee-jerk reaction to the fact that we had guns in the Capitol. There was not a single incident, despite all these people running around with AR-15s and rifles and pistols. Everybody was calm, cool, collected. There was no destruction of property, no damaging of things, unlike some protests that have happened there in the recent past. Am I wrong on that?
No, of course you're not. The guys who were here and the ladies who were here, I talked to a number of them. The rally started after session, so I don't know about how many legislators were still here, but I had left. It was it was put together, I think, at the last minute. So I didn't go to the rally. I did talk to a number of the people that were headed to the rally early that morning, and you know they're just regular folks. They wanted to stand for their Second Amendment, and you got to put it in context. They're not just grabbing a day, which would be fine, but they're not just grabbing a day to go to Frankfort. This is in the context of what Virginia is doing.
And right.
Virginia is wildly violating the Second Amendment rights of its citizens, and I'll say that there's not a chance of that happening in Kentucky, by the way, not with the General Assembly that we have. But so they've come here to make sure that their legislators know that they are, they're supporting the Second Amendment rights, and that's something that the legislators need to support as well. But with respect to why there was no violence, well, of course there's no violence because guns don't shoot people, and good people were the ones that had those guns. I talked to a number of them.
Yeah,
I would say that I want to be very respectful of some of my colleagues who felt, and employees of LRC, the Legislative Research Commission, who felt unsafe because not because guns were in the Capitol per se, but because there were guys who were dressed out in military garb with AKs and they had their faces covered.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that's not probably. I believe that's too far, and we ought not be doing that. One, I don't think you should be able to do that. You should show your face at all times, surely.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is, I don't think that's safe. And this is a place where a lot of children come. I have school groups come up to the Capitol all the time, and I don't want their parents or their teachers to think that there's going to be guys walking all around the Capitol with AKs and,
right,
and AR-15. So, there's a balance here. And I don't think that kind of activity, while it's not unlawful, I don't think that helps the cause.
No, it doesn't.
Right. And so what we need to do is I think we need to be a little more respective of the area. And if you're going to walk around with AKs, then you need to, I don't think you should be covering.
Well, I think there's a difference between standing up for your rights and poking
right.
the other side in the face.
And, that's right.
Look, I support the right to do these things. I remember there was an incident a few years ago back when President Obama was in office, and there was concern that he was going to go after assault rifles and assault rifles. That's what he called them. They're just rifles. But there was a guy that went to a Chipotle or a Qdoba or someplace like that, and he had his AR-15 slung over his shoulder, and it caused a bunch of controversy. And I kind of made the point at the time. I was like, you have every right to do this, but that's just dumb. All you're doing,
right.
First of all, if there is a mass shooter, they're going to take you out first because they're going to see you are armed and they're just going to shoot you because, you know what I mean? But number
That's
two,
right.
you've gone across that line of, I have a right to do this, and so not everything we have a right to do is the right thing to do. And there has to be sort of this understanding that, for instance, this is the reason I don't ever carry openly. In Kentucky, I can carry openly just about anywhere I want to, unless it's private property that says I can't. But I don't, because not because I don't have a right to, or I don't think I should have a right to. You absolutely should. And I'm never afraid by people that are carrying openly. But for me personally, I don't want to cause people who don't have the same feelings about guns as I do to be intimidated or feel like they should be intimidated, or people who don't understand it. And I also don't want to be a target for a mass shooter. I'd rather be able to react and defend myself and others.
That's right. We have to respect our other citizens' views, as you just said. And a lot of people, that felt unsafe weren't on the far left. They just, you know, they're just regular folks, and they felt a little bit.
Well, I'm surprised at the mask thing, that it's not already illegal, because we have laws in the state about wearing masks. I know that's how they arrested those guys that were dressing like clowns after it came out. And also, I know that you can take your gun in the Capitol. You can't take it into the Senate gallery or the House gallery or the House floor, if I'm not mistaken. So it kind of surprises me there's not a quick rule there that, hey, if you come in here with your gun, that's fine, but we want to know who you are. You can't wear a mask. That should be a quick, easy change of just rules. I don't think that would violate anybody's constitutional rights, do you?
No, not at all. And I don't know I've heard that it might already be outlawed, and if it is, it certainly wasn't enforced. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it's, I think it's a bad picture that was presented. I think it was, you know, not the smartest thing to do.
Yeah.
But you know, those people, no violence occurred, because these are just good old guys from Kentucky, and you know, and they're just standing up for a right that they have, and that I think most people in the General Assembly, I think most citizens support. But I think, you know, that they didn't help their cause, I don't think, by.
Well, it gives the fuel to those media outlets that want to paint.
That's right.
You know, I mean, already they go after scary guns. Now they'll go, you know, there's just no real reason for that, especially if you're doing a protest. It's to say, I am here and I am loud and proud. It's not as though we're being oppressed in Kentucky with regards to guns. There's no reason to hide your face. There's nothing to be afraid of in that sense. I want to talk about sports betting, and then we'll talk about medical marijuana. We've got Representative Jason Nemes with us. Sports betting's interesting. It looks like there's overwhelming support on the floor of both chambers. The problem appears to be that leadership on the Senate side is still dragging their feet about whether or not they'll let this thing actually get to the floor. And we had Governor Beshear this morning with an event basically saying we need to get this done. Some of the rare, I think, bipartisan agreement. What are your thoughts on this? Why is our head so buried in the sand on an issue that is allowing states all around us to reap revenue, grow freedom, and here we sit, you know, facing backwards again as Kentucky?
Well, it's one of the most frustrating issues that we're presented with this session, because I agree with you 100%. It brings in some money, not a great deal, but $45 million over the biennium. We have $11.6 billion budget, so that's not a lot of money in context, but it's $45 million. But most importantly, it brings the freedom. It expands freedom in Kentucky, and so it's extremely frustrating. But there is very strong opposition to this. There's a number of legislators who came up here, and one of their core values is they're against all forms of gaming, and there's no way in the world they'll ever support expanded gaming. And so that's what we're running into. There's a lot of people who aren't – it's not a core value, and so we're talking to those folks to try to get them on board and see what needs to be done. There's a number of provisions in the bill that they have – that they're quibbling with, and so we're trying to, you know, meet with them and fix those particular provisions, and so it's part of the legislative process. I want to note that 2 days ago, though, Senate leadership announced that they do have the votes in the Senate if it gets out of the House. So, you know, I know for a fact we have a votes in the House. It's a question of getting the vote, and this is one of the things. I know you have Representative Massey on a lot, and he talks about the U.S. Congress, and this is one of the things that's so frustrating is, now we don't have the rule that Congress used to have called the Hastert rule, right, which is that the majority of the majority party have to support something before they let it go to the floor. We don't have that, but we have a semblance of that. We have to have enough people in the Republican caucus to, you know, that I guess the leadership feels comfortable in moving it forward. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. I think there should be a rule. In the United States Supreme Court, there's a rule, for instance, they have nine justices. And any issue that four of them want to take up, they take up.
Right.
I guess the argument is if four people could convince a fifth, then you're good to go.
Right.
I think we should have a rule here that if 40 people co-sponsor a bill, then it comes up for a vote. And look, if you have to vote no, fine.
Right.
The people who want to vote no on sports betting, I don't disrespect them for that. That's great. If that's their conscience or that's their district, I have no problem. There's no dishonor in a no vote.
Mm-hmm.
There is dishonor and stopping a vote,
yeah,
especially when that vote, we know, everybody here knows it, we know has a majority of the legislators who want to vote for it.
Yeah, I think the problem, I agree with what you're proposing. Basically, you know what, 40% of the legislature is on board with something, let's bring it to a vote, go up or down on it, and that makes common sense to most people. But what probably causes fear and loathing in the control mechanisms of both political parties is that, you know, that's one of the big levers of power that they have when they're in the majority, and they don't want to give that up.
It is, and Leland, it's one of the ways. Look, I'm a proud, unapologetic Republican. You know, I'm not right wing, but I'm pretty moderate. But I'm a proud Republican. But parties, the two party system has perverted our politics in so many ways, and this is one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, let's vote. You know, if you're a no, that's great. Then right. Vote no. But I think if it's sufficient, you know, a plurality of people want to vote on it, then let's put our names on the board and be heard and be counted.
It makes sense. I guess you know it. What you're telling me though is that a very small number of people are going to make it so that Kentucky will continue to make most of its money from horse racing, gambling, and bourbon. But by God, we're not going to let anybody bet on the Super Bowl.
That's right. It makes absolutely no sense. That's where we are. And we do bet. A lot of Kentuckians bet. They just go across the Tennessee line or go across
the Lieutenant Governor. The Lieutenant Governor. Didn't she just across the line and bet on the Louisville game just to make a point?
Well, I want to congratulate her because she bet on Lamar Jackson getting the MVP.
So I think she
cashed that in.
That's right.
So congratulations to her.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing immoral about our lieutenant governor going across the river and putting a very smart bet on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. To be clear, she wasn't betting on the Louisville game. She was betting on Lamar Jackson.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so here's what it boils down to. What is the proper role of government, right? And I know these are hard questions because it's not, in my view, it's not libertarian versus, you know, utopia. These are hard questions. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying when sports betting is illegal is that you think I should go to jail for putting $5 on the Red Sox, or you think that the person who takes my bet should go to jail for allowing me to put $5 on the Red Sox. That's what we're saying. We've got a lot of problems in Kentucky.
Right.
Putting $5 on the Red Sox, it just ain't one of them.
Yeah, or better yet, your moral opposition to you putting $5 on the Red Sox leads
right.
you to
that's
want
right.
to vote against your ability and freedom to do so. And that's
right.
where I get a little frustrated, because as a Christian who believes that, you know, I don't believe that playing the slot machine is a sin in and of itself. I think being a slave
right.
to the slot machine is the sin. And I think that it can be the same for Twinkies. It can be the
That's
same
it.
For movies. It can be the same for anything we want to put before God. I mean, I don't mean to get all theological here, but
right,
that's
right.
my moral belief. I don't want to, but I believe that as a Christian, we come to those beliefs through communication with God in a personal relationship with Him, not through checking the law books, because that I don't believe anyone has ever been truly, truly converted into a belief system of religious belief by any government that's ever theocratically, you know, unleashed an edict that they must. Now, they may have behaved as such because they were afraid of the government, but they've never truly chosen to go down that road because of a law. It's always because of a personal choice. And so it makes no sense to me that we would stand on this moral high ground when the rest of the state is making its money off of what is considered to be, by those same people, the moral low ground. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. I do think it's proper that we should do things for the good of the family and to help the family. And what some people on the other side are saying is, you know, this is bad for the family. And my response, just like you just said, is, well, it might be bad for some families if a mom or a dad or somebody
right.
Is overly addicted to this. But two points. One, I don't think we should outlaw something for everyone because a few people will misbehave.
Right.
Something like this. But the other point I'd make is that the bill, you know, most sports betting is electronic.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can really monitor things and say, okay, Jason Nemus normally does a $5 bet per week. Well, this week he's really bumped up to 500. So there may be a problem. So what this bill does is it allows and it appropriates some of the money to identify problem gamblers and get them help. So we're not bringing gambling to Kentucky, sports betting in Kentucky. It's already here.
Right.
So what this bill would do, if you are someone who says, look, man, people are going to misbehave and they're going to hurt their families, and so I'm too worried about going forward. We know that's already happening. So what this bill would do is it would protect that by helping people, by catching them, identifying them, and reaching out to them to try to help them. And maybe,
yeah.
you know, cutting off the spigot, so to speak, so they can't continue to bet too much money. So, you know, if that's where you are, the bill has those protections in place. So, you know, I want to respect my colleagues who disagree, but, you know, and vote no, please vote no, but let's vote.
It's interesting when you were talking about all this, my wife and I went to visit the Jamestown colony in Virginia some years ago. And when you go into the visitor center there at the national park, what's really interesting is they have a plaque on the wall that talks about the religious rules that were law in that colony. And they were incredibly intense. Like cussing would get you like a full 2 or 3 days in the stocks in the town square. Not going to church would get you in the stocks. There was things like stealing was the death penalty. Incredibly religious based. Obviously, stealing is wrong, but I mean, even just not going to church and swearing an oath could get you put into major punishment. And we were kind of laughing at that. And it was just kind of interesting to think about how, you know, times have changed in this way. And it's like, I don't think anybody ever chose not to say a cuss word because they were afraid of God's fury. They were afraid of being put in the stocks in the May. So you didn't.
Right.
So there's this dichotomy of how we approach it, right? Their idea was, let's make people behave by causing them to fear the punishment. What you're talking about is we want people to behave because they choose to behave because they got the help they needed to live a better life. Right. Okay. And it's two different approaches. And I think we've proven that the latter approach, the putting people in the stocks in public square, making them into criminals for these kinds of nonviolent, victimless crimes, if you want to call it that, that doesn't work as well as finding a way to get them help. I mean, we can approach drugs the same way. I just think it's interesting because it doesn't. You're not gonna solve the problem by putting more people in jail. It's just not gonna make it better.
That's exactly right. And this kind of thinking, by the way, is, just a short hop away from what New York did when they regulated the amount of drinks that people could have and so forth and so on.
Right.
And, you know, I think maybe in Kentucky we've got a bigger problem with obesity. And so maybe we should outlaw some sugary foods. Well, of course we shouldn't. So the way I see it, these are difficult questions sometimes. But where I come down is when in doubt, liberty out.
Right, yeah. Hey, right, I'm right on there with you. By the way, be careful what you wish for, too, about that, because if Mayor Bloomberg gets elected president, he's going to be all up in all of our business about the size of drinks we can have and all that. So I think this segues nicely into another topic I wanted to hit with you, and that's your passion about making medical marijuana legal. You and I disagree on legalizing it recreationally, and I think it's important to bring that out because there's a lot of people that think that you are pushing for, I guess, loosening the laws around marijuana and that we would end up with a California-type situation, and that's not at all your approach. But going back to what we were talking about, it seems ludicrous to throw people in jail who are just trying to get better treatment for cancer or just trying to get relief from pain or relief from PTSD.
That's right, and I think that's why I've been able to make such headway here. You know, when I took the bill over 2 years ago, three of the Republican majority, members of the majority were on board. And now, you know, we've got over 30 members of the 60 will vote for it. We have, again, 2 days ago, we reached the threshold for the second session in a row where a majority of the body is an actual co-sponsor. And that's not just saying I'm committed to vote for it. That's putting their name on the bill. And so, it's going to pass the House this session. On Wednesday, we have a vote in the Judiciary Committee. It will go out of there with flying colors, and then I anticipate it's going to get a vote on the floor very quickly. It'll go over to the Senate, where I think things are moving over there as well. But to your point, I mean, you know, when I ran for office, I was against medical marijuana, but I met with some constituents and studied the issue, and, you know, Leland, I was wrong. And it's wrong to say that we all know that it has some benefits to people, and it's wrong to say to grandpa, for instance, that he's going to go to jail if he helps out grandma who's in cancer treatment. Or it's wrong to tell mom that she's going to go to jail or she has to move or a kid has to suffer if she tries to help her child out. I mean, if who's having seizures. That's not who we are as Kentuckians. And, you know, I'm against, for instance, people say, well, marijuana has negative effects. Well, of course it does. So does morphine. But we allow doctors to use morphine in the appropriate situations.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, marijuana is no is no different. And Kentucky's not inventing the wheel here. 33 states already have it.
Right.
And so we can learn from their positives and their negatives that they went through.
That's a really good point. How close are we to seeing this get passed?
I think it gets passed this session. I mean, I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. I think it does. I really do. And the reason is, there's a lot of reasons, but the momentum is I think unstoppable right now. You know, right. I've seen some internal polls that have it in the mid 80s. There was a poll that was released yesterday from the Foundation for Healthy Kentucky that said 90% of Kentuckians support it. Then that sounds a little high to me, but you know, even if it's 10% off, it's still 80%. And in my district, when I talk to people, it doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat or old or young or what race or nationality they are. Everybody supports it because either they know somebody that they love who would benefit from it, or they've read about people who've benefited from it. So this issue has been decided in the public world.
Yeah,
it's just the legislative world that we're a little bit behind on. But I do. I think we'll get it done this session. We've got the Speaker of the House who's fighting for it, and that's always somebody. It's good to have on your side.
I don't want to make assumptions, but I will. I'm assuming Governor Beshear is on board with this.
Yeah, Governor Beshear is on board with this. I'll give him credit where it's due. I mean, he's been, I've talked to his administration a number of times, and their position is, I'll do whatever will be helpful. It's like somebody who's for you, but maybe they don't have, and he does, by the way. I mean,
right.
But if somebody, I'll be for you or against you, whatever helps you the most. I'm
right.
not saying that's what his administration is, but they've been, Jason, whatever's helpful, we'll do. Whatever,
right.
whatever you think will be hurtful, we won't do.
Right.
So Governor Beshear has been, you know, I'm going to give him kudos on this because he's been exactly where he should be, and he's ready to fight for it. He believes in it, and I commend him for that.
Where there is common ground, we must seize it.
I mean, that's exactly right.
It's a bottom line.
I'm not a Governor Beshear sycophant, to be sure. I didn't vote for him. I want him to be very successful because he's my governor. He's our governor.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of things I disagree with him on. You know, I strongly disagree with him on the right to life issue. I mean, two abortion clinics have opened in 2 months, and he hasn't even been governor for 2 months.
Right.
There's things that we disagree on. I mean, those are fair. But Andy Beshear, the man, I know him. His kids play at the same baseball field that mine do. And he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He comes from a good family. He's a good person. Now, we're going to disagree on a whole lot, and I'll fight where I've got to fight for my constituents. But on this issue, he's been a stalwart, and I'm gonna give him the credit that he's due.
Yeah, yeah, fascinating. Hey, listen, Representative Nemus, it's always good to talk to you. I'm glad we've got men and women like yourself in Frankfort trying to keep the balance on the craziness, and we appreciate all your efforts. And hopefully we'll see sports betting get passed. Hopefully we'll see the medical marijuana bill get passed, and hopefully the governor will sign this bill to put RSOs armed in our schools. It would be fantastic. Thanks for your time today. We appreciate it. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks, Leland. Anytime.
All right, Representative Jason Nemus right here on the Disruption Zone. All right, later this week, my friend Elle Russ, an actress in Hollywood and a Primal Blueprint diet coach, is going to join us. She's got a new book out, Confident as Bleep, and she's going to tell us how to be confident in your life. It's going to be awesome. We've got that plus much more. Cameron and I are going to talk about legalizing marijuana recreationally and medically later on this week, and much more coming from the Disruption Zone. You can follow us on social media. It's on Instagram at The Disruption Zone, and I'm at Great Lelando. You can also follow us on Twitter. It's at Zone Disruption on Twitter. And, of course, on Twitter, I'm at Leland Show. And Facebook, Leland Conway and The Disruption Zone. Executive producers, myself and Cameron Mills. Thanks to Dynamics Productions in Lexington, Kentucky, dxaudio.com for all your production needs, for their help with the production prowess of this program. You've been listening to The Disruption Zone. Remember, download it at our website, www.thedisruptionzone.com. Or on Google Play or Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.